You are listening to EP Culture Beat, the underground source of El Paso, Texas.
What up, Bionicles? It's your main man, Sucio, a.k.a. Cerberus, a.k.a. Thought Boy Supreme, a.k.a. Lesbian Wolverine, a.k.a. Cobija-chan, a.k.a. ex-boyfriend of everybody's mom. Welcoming you back to another episode of EP Culture Beat, your source for the underground arts and culture of El Paso, Juarez. Now, before we go any further, make sure you hit that like, share, subscribe, notification on whatever major streaming platform you're on, because I know we're on every single one. Those numbers really count headed into this new year. We want to thank you for the big numbers we had last year. So make sure you keep hitting those buttons. Now, they used to say that the future was so bright, we were going to have to wear shades. But looking at the way 22 is coming up, it's going to be more like a Johnny Mnemonic than a Lawnmower Man situation, where a couple of random images can unlock a fortune, just like a real life cheat code of some sort. Now, today's guest is right on the crest of the new digital age of art. Thank you for being on the show. Owner slash founder of the Cryptic NFT Gallery at 409 South Kansas Street, Roque.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
Did I pronounce your name right?
Yeah, Roque.
Oh, thank God, because I always mess up people's names. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no, it's all good. That's actually pretty good.
All right, thank you, brother. Thank you for letting us come in here. We're definitely here on a day that you are not open right now, right?
No, we are not open. We're actually working on transforming the whole place into something new. After we opened up for the first 7 days, we got a ton of feedback from the community and all the crypto lovers and NFT fanatics. So now we know where to go with it, and we're going to try to get that out there.
Oh, you got that refocus going. So yeah, let me ask definitely. My first question. It's going to be a simple one. You know, there's only a few NFT galleries in the world at this point. Right now, at this very point, there's probably a handful. Why open one in El Paso? Why open one downtown?
So this is actually one of the biggest reasons, because it is downtown and it is El Paso. It's not the biggest major city. So I thought, hey, we don't have this kind of high-tech kind of gallery, and there's not really a lot of people focusing on cryptocurrencies or NFTs, stuff like that. And usually when there's trends, it usually hits El Paso, not in the first waves. So I thought, hey, it'd be cool to bring something here and maybe make it a little simpler. And since it's a physical gallery, it'd be a lot simpler to explain and for people to understand what an NFT is, what NFT art is, and how it could be good for everybody.
And you know, I'm going to have to ask you this question. Please explain an NFT to everybody who saw the original Matrix in theaters.
Oh boy. Well, I get the question a lot, and I think the easiest way to explain it to anyone who's been around for baseball cards, Pokemon, it's basically that sort of same deal, like a trading card or a collectible sort of action figure, you could even say. But think of it as an electronic form of that. And then if you really want to get a little bit more into it,
yeah, throw me that technical.
So it's built on the blockchain of whatever cryptocurrency you put it out there on, which the most popular one right now is Ethereum. So people do these drawings or art. It could really be anything, and it's not even limited to art. There's a lot of different things you could make into an NFT, and they basically mint it on the blockchain, which is basically putting it on the blockchain, which, if you don't know what the blockchain is, it's basically a series of transactions verified by other users of cryptocurrencies, and together it makes a authentic NFT or token.
The moment it's put out into the ether is the moment you guys certify it, right? And you certify it by selling it, and because you sold it, you're able to say this is the point of origin.
Exactly. Well, it's not really selling it, but rather minting it is basically paying a fee to have it put on the blockchain.
Now this is crypto terminology when you're talking about minting. And yes, a lot of people don't understand that it takes a long time to mint something because it's a lot of individual transactions, right?
Yes and no. If you think about it, it's just like minting a dollar bill.
Okay.
You basically just create it almost out of thin air, but I mean, there is something backing it, which is part of the blockchain.
The Ethereum.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's backed by the Ethereum blockchain, basically. And then minting it is just putting it on the blockchain. And it's not really selling it. But once you do sell it, then it makes it even more legitimate.
Then let me ask this. You're involved in this space. Before we get into, like, you know, the funner questions, is this a digital gold rush? I mean, is everybody trying to stake their claim, or does everybody know that it's going to dry out at some point and they're just trying to grab as much as they can?
Well, the thing is, there's been a lot of crypto millionaires popping up recently since everyone's been getting into crypto a lot. And Ethereum is one of the biggest ones. But lately, you haven't been able to buy much with Ethereum. So now that there's so much wealth in the space of cryptocurrency, especially Ethereum, and now that there's something you can buy with it, people are going crazy buying really expensive pieces of art, digital art, NFTs. So that's one thing. And then two, it could be seen as somewhat of a digital gold rush, but I think it's going to stay longer than we might think, because it might be very hyped up right now, but after the wave of this huge popularity, I think it'll die down, but still be more popular than before, obviously. And I think there's really a place for it to stay in the modern world. And then if you think about it, during the COVID lockdowns, a lot of people were really on their phones a lot, people on their PC, on their laptop, all that kind of stuff. So they're already used to basically a world combined of digital and reality. And that's what I like to say we do here, is we combine the digital metaverse, as some people say, with the reality, the world, the physical world, basically.
Let's say I want to start getting into NFTs. Let's say, you know, I'm not a technical savvy. I know a little bit, but not a lot. Where would you... What are the rudimentary startings of trying to get into an NFT, whether collecting or otherwise? What do you recommend to people?
Well, first things first, you'd have to create a cryptocurrency wallet, which is basically, think of it as a bank account for cryptocurrencies.
Okay.
And then once you have that, and say you already have some art, whether it be digital or physical, maybe you could take a picture of the physical, or maybe put it into a software that turns it into a digital art. Then you could actually just go on many of the marketplaces that they have available and mint your digital art into the blockchain. And it's actually way more simple than it sounds. But if you really want to do this, you could seriously just look it up on YouTube, how to make an NFT. It's super simple. It just sounds very complicated.
And there's an NFT of that.
Yeah, probably.
They want you to buy.
Yeah.
Me, like a lot of people, want to get into NFTs, you know. But let's just say some of the artwork is not really there for me. You know, some of the artwork isn't really cool. Like, you know, some of it is super pixelated, very simple. And then some of it is extra complicated. You're talking about thousands of dollars, right? Is there any art out there that's both, let's say, complex or a little bit more finite, more refined? Or do any of these have like a charitable thing? Like, you know, is any of this feeding into charity? Because I feel like people really want either one. Either it's going to look super badass, or it's going to, A, you know, help the environment. Like, it's either going to be one or the other.
Yeah, so that's actually a really good point. Basically, those are two of the biggest reasons for NFTs. One is to maybe support your favorite artist and keep them into art, basically. That's one of the, probably the biggest one. With NFTs, you can actually sell your piece if you're an artist. And then if they sell your piece in the secondary marketplace, you actually could set up a sort of deal where you can actually receive a royalty from that. So that's a really good way to promote and help some of your favorite artists. And then there's also, obviously, the really cool art that's super intricate, and even some is just pure hype. And that's basically the whole market decides which are the most hype pieces and all that kind of stuff.
And, you know, I feel like some of these NFTs are majorly a flex, right?
Like, oh yeah. Most of them are, like, the entire Bored Ape Yacht Club, all the CryptoPunks, to name a few popular collections, they're basically pure hype. And there's a lot of them like that out there. But some of them do have some intrinsic value, I'd say, because the artist is just, it could just be a pretty good artist, or you like the artist. But at the end of the day, if you want to buy NFTs for the sake of art, you got to buy one that you actually like for yourself, and maybe not for the hype, unless, you know, that's a whole other boat. So that's why it's just, number one, a good reason to support artists. But then two, I mean, you could ride the hype train, maybe make a few dollars, but I mean, it's going to come to an end at some point, probably, or maybe not to an end, but it'll probably get exponentially harder in the, as we go on with NFTs.
I mean, we're talking tens of thousands. You know, what are some of the most expensive ones out there?
So the most expensive one, I believe, was Beeple's 500 days. I mean, sorry, 5,000 days, every days, I think, something like that. Basically, this digital artist would create one piece of digital art every day. And this went on for a little over a decade.
Yeah.
And he put all of them together. They actually just sold that at Christie's auction house.
Dang.
And it went for $69 million, something like that.
My goodness, Lord.
Crazy.
Are you serious?
Yep. And then a lot of the Bored Ape Yacht Club,
yeah,
the monkeys, basically, they
them motherfuckers is ugly though.
Oh yeah, yeah. But they have been selling for ridiculous prices. I think the last thing I saw was maybe 400,000.
Well, I mean, Snoop Dogg owns one, Future, right? Like,
yeah, all the celebrities,
Brian Gage and all that.
Yeah,
but in your opinion, what are the NFTs you like? What are you into? I mean, you obviously open this because you have a passion for it. Like, what are you into?
Honestly, for me, it's more about supporting artists, but also I'm kind of trying to get more into the NFT minting side myself.
Oh,
because I have a lot of friends that make art, and I feel like this could be a whole other, well, we're trying to make it a whole part of our gallery.
Absolutely.
Which we can get artists and actually help them mint their NFTs, and then we could even display them here at our gallery, and then also as we grow we can put them into other features, stuff like that. So that's my biggest interest, is I want to kind of help other people create them. Maybe they're not as tech savvy as the, you know, the NFT guys and girls. And then so yeah, I think that's probably my biggest interest.
You have an NFT building station, right? You help people make something here. Please walk me through that. Please tell me, because I wasn't able to come during business hours. I came, you know, during the end.
Definitely. So basically, it's called the NFT station, or the creation room.
Okay.
And basically, anyone could come in here, draw a little doodle, a little painting, anything you want. Basically, we have some markers, we have some paper. And
is this where we're at?
We're in NFT station.
It sounds like a woman here.
Yeah. So basically, you could even bring your own supplies, but you create a piece of physical art on paper. And then me and my, we call him the in-house animator.
All right.
He actually turns it into a digital piece and we format it to make it look like an NFT, you know, display at our art gallery. And then we put it up. The thing is, we don't mint it, so technically it's not an NFT per se, but it's just one step away from becoming an NFT.
And you're gonna be there. You're heading that way.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the thing is, not everyone wants to make an NFT. A lot of people just want to see it up on the walls and they want to see their digital piece. It's cool to have it on your phone. It's way easier to share. So that's a big thing. And then also, we haven't really reached out to a lot of artists to create NFTs, like do deals with them, basically.
Yeah.
But we're kind of heading in that direction. As I said earlier, we got a lot of feedback, so we're trying to work on all that kind of stuff.
I mean, I see these changing. I mean, and I read that yours change daily. So yes. It's always a different collection up here?
Yeah. Well, so for the NFT room, we have all of our previous visitors who've created a piece of art. We always display those, and those are basically the same every day, but we do add new ones when people come in and create new ones. But for the rest of our NFT displays, we do try to change them every day. Some of them we do keep the same. Those are our in-house artists, we say. But I mean, most of them are different every day. And that's like a really cool thing about this gallery or any NFT gallery, really, is the way that it could just change so fast, just like how the internet changes fast. It's like merging those two, the reality and the internet together, like I said earlier.
You sell what you have exhibited. This is an art gallery.
Yes. We don't sell the NFTs that people created, but we do sell all the rest. And those right now, we do sell all of those. And
your curated pieces.
Yes. We basically have a big list of NFTs that we like and we are displaying them. And we do sell those, yes.
How do you choose that? How do you choose who goes on the wall? I mean, obviously, it's an art thing.
I'm not really involved in that process as much, but...
Who is? Let me talk to him. No,
well, I sometimes choose a few pieces, but I have some other people on my team that they choose the pieces. Mm. They're more into the art world, and I'm honestly a little bit more... on the business and logistics side of the whole thing.
You're a young man. You're talking like a straight up grown businessman. I mean, like, you're a young man. How long has this been open?
It's been open since December 17th.
When did it come up? When did it start popping up in your brain?
Well, I always thought there could be a place for cryptocurrency or digital trend in El Paso. Mm. I just never knew what it could be. And that was until November is when it really clicked. And I thought, I have to do this right now.
Yeah.
Get the wave that's going right now and expand on it. Be the first ones in El Paso to create something like this. And ever since then, my team has been super awesome. And we've been working basically day and night to create this whole thing. And then we finally opened on the 17th. And we opened basically for a special week.
Yeah.
And then now we're kind of transforming it, as I said earlier, and we're going to be keeping it open for the weekends as much as we can.
How big is the team? I mean, you can't run this by yourself. I know you're a young man. You got all this energy, but still, like, how many you got? 20 people on here?
No, we have 4 people. So not a lot quite. Of people. Yeah. They're really awesome because it's really like a team of 20 because they each do the work of like 5 guys. So, yeah. I mean... really a lot of respect for them, and I really couldn't have done it without them. Like, we really came in here with absolutely nothing. We really changed up the whole place, and we're still continuing to. It was kind of a very fast process because the idea came, we didn't really have a lot of time to prepare, basically. Mm-hmm. But now that we have, you know, open for a week, we got some feedback, and a lot of it, actually. So now we know where to go with it.
What do you mean by a lot of... You've been saying a lot of feedback. Like, you just boom, boom, boom. Every day you got 100 emails?
Not really in that regard. I'm just saying the visitors we get, yeah, they tell us a lot of the stuff they like and the stuff they don't like. Also, a lot of new ideas that we never even considered in the first place that we really love, and we're going to be implementing those in the future.
Is it going to always be a ticket-only situation?
So it has been a ticket-only deal as of now, but we're actually working on a sort of club where you can join by purchasing one of our NFTs, essentially.
All right.
Then we're trying to figure that whole thing out right now. But
the logistics.
Yeah, because it's a lot of stuff and it's new. It's really a lot of stuff to put together, but we want to, in the future, have some sort of way where you can basically be part of this club, mm-hmm, and you could come in whenever you want. And we're trying to even set up events, not only here in the gallery, but outside as well. Mm-hmm. And well, we'll see how that goes. We're going to start off small, but we'll see how it goes. But for now, yes, it's only tickets. And then there's also the, you know, like there's a monthly pass, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could come basically every weekend. And, you know, it's something new every time. And it's way cheaper than buying a ticket every time. So, I mean, I would get that personally.
So you have collections, right? You're going to have exhibits. Are they going to be like all kaiju? And then one of them's going to be like cholos. And then, you know, one's going to be like cars or whatever. Are you going to follow a standard like that? Let's say like the actual bigger art galleries?
We totally would if we had the space. But the thing is, there's so much out there, mm-hmm, in the NFT world that we're kind of doing it by format. And then as we expand, because there is an upstairs to this place that we're trying to get ready, for when we open next.
I swear this was a bail bonds place before.
Yeah, it really was.
I do. I told you.
Yeah, so we actually have the rooms by if it's a JPEG or if it's a MP4 video. And then we're even going to be introducing, hopefully soon, a VR experience where check out augmented reality, which if you don't know what that is, it's kind of like the technology used for Pokemon Go, if you've played that. And basically, you can it's almost like a digital sculpture. You can think of it like that.
In your opinion, in your eyes, what is the future of the metaverse? Because, you know, a lot of people don't understand what the metaverse is, but essentially it's a digital profile, right? Like, it's your digital profile, it's your digital space. You're going to be able to do with it what you want.
Honestly, there's a lot of gray area in the metaverse space, but I think it's a pretty cool concept. I don't think people are going to be spending all day on there, but I think it's a great way people can meet. It's a great alternative to Zoom and stuff like that.
For school.
For school, for work, for meetings. You know, you go to a meeting and it lasts an hour. It shouldn't be an hour. That's a really good way you can cut down on time. You could just be wherever you are, put on your headset, attend the meeting, and you're out of there in no time. So, and not only in that setting, but there's a lot of settings just like that, that it could really make it a lot more efficient. So I think it could increase efficiency in the workplace, in the school academics, and well, I guess we'll see what happens with it.
You know, I grew up listening to like, you know, oh, in the future, everything's going to be like, put your VR sets and we're going to go to dinosaur times. We're going to go, you know, sack Rome. And, you know, you're going to make like a report about it. But I feel like it's just with NFTs, it's getting closer and closer and closer to that reality, no?
Yeah, definitely. I really think there's going to be a big part of the entire world in basically the metaverse.
Like what, 10 years? What do you say, 20 years?
Maybe 20, 30 years. It takes a pretty long time for people to get adjusted to a new technology.
I just read a thing where it's like they weren't used to emails.
Yeah.
Emails were passing fast.
Yeah, and now it's not even a thing you would think about. So there's probably going to be maybe 20, 30 years. 20, 30 years, I'd say. Yeah. But honestly,
Full Black Mirror.
Yeah. But you never know because, you know, the iPhone went like crazy, right? Yeah. So it could happen like that too. So we'll just have to see what happens.
You say there's a lot of legal gray area when it comes to this. Looking out for yourself as a business owner, how much do you have to protect yourself? Like, do you have a bunch of lawyers right now? Because we just did an interview with somebody with an app and they had to get like a mad corporate lawyer. Yeah.
Well, not really. Right now, we just have, you know, a lot of weird insurances, but...
What do you mean by weird? Like,
you know, like we have talked to kind of like an NFT lawyer.
Okay, all right.
And then also we just have like some insurance that, I don't know, it's I really don't even know what it is.
You just bought it.
It's essential, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that. And then obviously we do have to contact all the artists we work with, and we have a relationship with them and we get permission for basically everything we do with their art. We're trying to stay safe in that, in the legal aspect, with copyright, all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely, because that's dangerous.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. And then also we wouldn't want to disrespect any of the artists, so I mean that's number one.
Yeah,
so
you want them to come here.
Yeah, definitely.
We want you to come by.
Yes,
so
of course.
Is there a reason you set up shop heart of downtown Segundo Barrio, right on Paisano? Paisano in Kansas, 409 South Kansas. So make sure you throw that out there.
Well, I think we could really expand downtown because a lot of people who go to like San Jacinto Plaza, they don't really come this far down. And I kind of want to open that up.
Absolutely.
As well. So that'd be really cool because there's a lot of cool stuff down here. And a lot of people who just stop at San Jacinto, they really miss out on a lot of cool culture, art, people. So I think this is a pretty cool step in that direction.
There's a lot of history in this area. You know, you got the Colon Theater. You have, you know, the actual Pancho Villa used to come through here. You know, this barrio down here used to be a Chinese American barrio. Like, you know, there's so many different things that downtown is. So it's awesome that you're trying to do something here. And yeah. I love downtown for sure.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I also love downtown. And yes, there is a ton of history down here. And it'd be cool for people not only just to see, you know, the NFT gallery, but also all that culture too.
And the man with the little the thrift store next door, he says what's up too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we looted him for like Batman calling him books right now.
Yeah, we talked to him when we set up shop. He's a nice guy. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people like him.
There's a lot of cool spots here. Yeah. You know, I love downtown. Thank you for doing this downtown. Now, you're heading into the next year. You're going to be open mainly weekends. When is that starting?
Right now, we're not too sure.
Okay.
The team's super busy and, you know, we can't overwork the team or anything. Mm-hmm. And then it's a lot of skill. The skill requirements for this sort of thing is kind of hard to find. So that's another big thing. We'll probably have something open, at least the bottom portion, as we've had so far. So
then you're going to be working on the top and all that stuff?
Yeah, right? Yeah. We're definitely going to be looking into expanding the top, the second floor, and then getting the VR experience.
This place is deceptively huge. Like you come in and you feel like you're watching this, but you go to the back, you go upstairs, like what's going on?
There's a lot of spots. Yeah.
Little baby Meow Wolf.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we actually did get some inspiration from Meow Wolf that we will be implementing in here. It's not going to be as crazy, but it'll be pretty cool. So definitely check it out.
Well, you know, on our behalf, thank you. This is your time. Say your shout outs. Tell the people what you want to tell them. You know, say shout outs to your team or whatever you're doing in the future. Please promo yourself because I want to know where you're going and what you're doing, what you're going to do in the future.
First of all, I'd like to thank my team, Steven, Miguel Angel, Joaquin, Brandon, Sibone, and everyone else I didn't mention that helped a lot. Come check us out. Go check us out on our Instagram, on our website, crypticnftgallery.com or Cryptic NFT Gallery on Instagram.
On Insta?
Yes. So, yeah. And then we're definitely going to be opening up a whole lot of new things like you guys asked and suggested. So definitely check that out. And if you have any suggestions for us, definitely let us know. Our DMs are open. Our email's open. So, yeah, definitely.
They listen to the feedback cards here, y'all. Yes. They actually care what you say.
Yeah, we really try to keep our visitors first and give them the best experience possible.
Hell yeah.
So, you know, so they keep coming back.
Why did you call it Cryptic NFT Gallery?
I don't really know the story behind it, but, you know, it's kind of cryptic, the entire space behind cryptocurrencies and NFTs. It's a little confusing and there's a lot of, you know, computer type stuff going on, tech. And so that's one of the reasons, I guess. And then it also just sounds cool.
Hey, well, that's why I do most of the things I do.
Yeah.
Well, thank you on behalf of EP Culture Beat, your source for the underground arts and culture of El Paso Juarez. Make sure you hit up the Cryptic NFT Gallery at 409 South Kansas. Thank you, Roque.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. Say bye. Bye-bye. Thank you so much.